This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
No, it's extremely important to keep your mental in the best place because that's where my game is played. My game's not played from my legs and not even just my arm. So I know longevity to all-time greats. Who is Tom Brady's best trait? His mental. He's able to think. So if you have those traits of greatness and I know where I'm heading, then why wouldn't the franchise pick me? You got the ultimate cheat code.
That is Shedeur Sanders. Draft is less than a month away. That's from the Combine. What is Cleveland going to do? We'll get to it coming up here with Jonathan Peterlin. Morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off for the week. Nick Geary is in. There's a light dusting of snow on the ground. So apologies if you're just waking up to that news this morning. Susan Wenger from our sister station, WBEN, just tweeted out that this is going to be more bad news. So if you want to hear it, maybe, you know, walk away for 10 seconds. This snow might not be the latest that we get. It's March 26th. Last year, the latest snow in Buffalo was on April 5th. The year before, I don't remember this, but 2023, April 24th. Was the latest snow. So, you know, let's hope this is it. But maybe we have like a few more weeks of this. Need to get on the golf course. Anyways, let's get to the Western Hotline. Let's bring in Jonathan Peterlin from The Fan in Cleveland, 92.3. Thanks for joining the show. Hopefully there's no snow where you are.
I'm going golfing Saturday regardless. I've already decided. I didn't go last weekend because it was just a little bit too cold and windy, and I've just decided like it's supposed to be 60. If it's 60 or not, I'm going regardless.
Hey, if it's cold, you just get a little extra roll on the drives. The harder the ground, the longer your drive goes.
I can't do another week without doing it, so I'm going to just go, and I'm starting my season, and it could snow. I don't care. I'm going to be out there.
Yep. So Jonathan Peterlin, by the way, on the Western Hotline, if you want to follow him on Twitter, at J Peterlin. So the draft less than a month away. Russell Wilson to Cleveland. Right now, Jonathan, who would you make the favorite to be the Browns' week one starter? Would it be Kenny Pickett, just because he's on the roster?
So that's the hard part, right? If we're talking just on the roster, he'd be the only guy we could take right now because it's not going to be Deshaun Watson. Although, pay attention to that. Just pay attention to the idea that Deshaun is still on the roster. And although he won't be healthy in week one, if he ended up in a week 13 situation, if the Browns didn't take a quarterback number two overall, and then didn't get someone like Kirk Cousins. But if you made me guess, my guess right now is it's either Kirk Cousins for week one or it's Shedeur Sanders at week one. If you take a quarterback, I'm of the belief you start him right away, kind of like you guys did in Buffalo, where it's like you throw Josh Allen in there, and then you get to get all the kinks out of the way as quick as you possibly can before heading off to greatness. But if they go Kirk Cousins, it would be with the idea that they take a quarterback in the second, third, fourth round, and then obviously Kirk Cousins would be the guy week one.
So what has it been like for you the last like few weeks then with that, through free agency and Russell Wilson visiting there, and probably thinking, when did this really change? The last 48 hours, maybe that number one and Cam Ward would have been a conversation, but now that seems like it's going to be the Titans.
Well, but then also you saw the Schefter report yesterday where all of a sudden Cam Ward potentially opened to trades at number one overall. It has been changing so much. I've been pretty adamant, guys. I like Shador Sanders. I think if you can't win with Shador and you think Shador isn't good enough, then you're just going to be sitting there waiting forever for a quarterback because although he doesn't check all the boxes, and yes, he does have some flaws to himself, he is definitely a good enough quarterback to go ahead and take it number two overall. But, like, I've seen so many people, if you didn't believe in Shador already, that is flip-flopped in many, many ways. They want Kirk Cousins. They want Shador. They then don't want Shador. It's a never-ending cycle of trying to read the tea leaves. And honestly, I'm sure you guys could discuss this at some point. The idea that not only just the national media, but the media in general right now around sports it's just so narrative pushed by the agents and by the teams that it just makes our head constantly spin if you don't believe what you actually believe.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, and with Sanders, that's more true than anybody, right? Like on both ends of it, you have, I feel like, some that are very critical of him because of who he is and his last name and how he carries himself. And then you might have guys on the other side where, you know, like some of these media guys are like really good friends with Deion Sanders. And how do you trust their honest opinion? So, like, for sure. When I think of Sanders, I don't know how you think of him. My concern would be more about the athletic traits than it is about the confidence and the character stuff. For me, I wouldn't care as much about that. It's just, does he have the arm strength and the mobility to make it in the league more than all the other stuff?
So my big response back to that, and it's a fair point, he is not flawless. He is not Peyton Manning out of the draft. He's not Andrew Luck out of the draft. Like, no one's trying to make him be that. But my only response back to that is simple. I feel like these draft Knicks, they want somebody that can hit a baseball 450 feet when the wall is 325 to left field. Like, he can play 40 yards and in. So much of the game, and why like Joe Burrow is great, is he plays the game 40 yards and in. And it was the longest pass he completed last year at Colorado, 46 yards. Yes, it was. Do you know how many 40-yard completions Drake May had last year? He had one. And like, you're all right, well, it's just Drake May. I mean, Drake May's got a big arm. He maybe just didn't use it. All right, how many out of 392 completions last year did Patrick Mahomes have that was 40 yards or greater? Six. Six. So, like, if you're going to not draft a guy based off of six throws a year, then I feel like you just got the wrong idea. And, again, it's not that he's perfect. No one's saying he's perfect. But if the game is played 40 yards and in and he's the most accurate quarterback in college football last year – he was second as far as passing yards, and he was fourth as far as passing touchdowns. He checks all the boxes 40 yards in, and that's really what I'd be concerned about.
So you like Sanders. Do you have a gauge right now, or is there any noise on what the Browns like at this point and whether they would like Sanders enough to pick him at number two?
I wish I could tell you, like, I emphatically know this, X, Y, or Z. The Browns really are the biggest wild card of the draft. They are so very tight-lipped. And on top of it, though, we talk about all the misinformation that just gets spread around. It is. I wish I was kidding. You guys know this. I do 5 hours a day on this topic. Every other day, it feels like I can confidently say Sanders to the Browns at two, and then I can turn around and be like, looks like they're going Kirk Cousins. It's funny. So, like, the guy I host with, his name is Nick Wilson, and he is staunchly against quarterback at number two. So it makes for a good, you know, tug and pull, right? But the idea is that there have been, throughout the past couple months, there has been just as many days where he gets to roll into the office when we talk about ideas and be like, I got it now. They're not taking quarterback. I'm in the catbird seat, so to speak. And there's been just as many days where I'm like, it confidently seems like they're taking quarterback. In fact, just yesterday, it seemed like it was more likely than not they weren't taking quarterback off reports. And then the Russell Wilson news happens, and Russ shouldn't change what you do at all. But like walking in today, I'm thinking, okay, they're taking quarterback at number two. It's just, it's changing constantly.
Yeah, that's kind of what's happened here, right? Is that a lot of the veteran options have dried up, from Wilson and Winston, of course, both signing in New York. And right now, I mean, you mentioned Cousins, and even if he can get out of Atlanta, it sounds like he wants to. And Rodgers, who I've never seen Cleveland mentioned, and I don't think you probably want that. And that's kind of it, right? Like, if you're not going to draft a guy, it's Pickett, or again, like, is Cousins maybe the only name that's left that would fit the profile of a veteran guy to come in?
Yeah, and think about it, guys. Like, if you're not drafting a guy, you're doing it on the base that you just don't believe in Shedeur Sanders and you're waiting for next year. I think it's incredibly hard if you're a GM and a head coach that's been in the league now going on year six, have not won at all, to say Kirk Cousins is going to save our job. Like, it just, like, make that make sense. That's the part I never really get along with, unless they just believe they got the longest leash in NFL history, which I don't know why they would.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is what makes it's almost similar to the conversation you're going to have in New York with the Giants right now, which is, you know, you bring back the coach, maybe reluctantly, and the GM. It's not like there is a situation unfolding here where this roster is in a position to contend. So how do you even judge this, you know, regime at Andrew Berry and, you know, the head coach Stefanski, like, with the offense that they're likely going to run out? Like, let's say right now Kirk Cousins doesn't happen. Kind of seems like it could be Kenny Pickett or a rookie going out there with Jerome Ford, Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, and Michael Woods right now listed as your top four weapons on offense. It seems like far closer to a middling, like your goal is maybe middling, which I just, in the NFL right now, I can't imagine anyone's in a good situation thinking best case scenario is middling.
Yeah, no, it's a great point by you, but that's part of the problem, though, is that they haven't made any sort of moves that suggest that they're trying to push any chips in the middle of the table. They haven't made any sort of moves that suggest they're trying to do anything but get that 7, 8, 9 wins, but they desperately need to not replicate what happened last year. The reality is it is a lot of the ramifications of having what is one of the worst trades of all time in Deshaun Watson and some of the fallout. And so if they're playing with the idea that they're not going to be great next year and they're playing for maybe 2026 instead of 2025, I can see the long view, but it's really hard to sell that to the fans. And let's be honest, Jimmy Haslam, the owner, has been incredibly patient throughout this stretch, but my patience would run thin with back-to-back three-win seasons. I would be done with it.
Jonathan Peterlin, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, is with us on the Wester Hotline. You mentioned Watson again there. You said earlier, like, maybe if they don't draft a guy, like, late in the season, he's coming off the torn Achilles. Do you think, though, it's more likely he has started his last game in Cleveland? And when can they... They can't right now, I don't think, but when can they get out of that contract?
So I would say like 90% of people believe that he'll never play again in a Browns uniform. The reason why I phrased it the way I did, and this is not a talking point that we do often because it just makes all the fans mad anytime you bring up Deshaun Watson, it just wouldn't surprise me if you got to like week 14 and the quarterback room exists with some sort of really bad trio, and then all of a sudden Deshaun just kind of gets ushered into a game. That's the only reason why I bring it up. He will never play in a game that matters. He will never play. It'll be the type of, we're already turning the page on the season and we're done with it. And then he just kind of gets thrown in there because you're paying him $46 million and you're just going to make him basically dance for his dollar in that regard. The earliest, realistically, the Browns could be done after this latest restructure is March of 2027. So I would imagine he's going to be on the roster the next couple of years just from cap reasons, like he's forced to be. Now, he might end up being inactive on game day, but he'll actually have to be on the roster for cap reasons because they've spread this out. And really, I mean, this contract has killed the Browns in many ways, but it hasn't destroyed them because they've been able to constantly restructure.
Right. They've been kind of...
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
pushing it along. We both made the same reaction, like March of 2017. You know, though, so
and,
far
and
off.
Here's the crazy thing, right? Like, and I know this is not, we're not talking about the same thing here, but the Bills in their Super Bowl window didn't spread out or restructure the Diggs contract. They just ate it, and they just said, we're going to take a big one-year penalty and then look out on the other side of this.
But like that's $30 million. Like, I don't know if you would know the number off the top of your head, Jonathan, but like I'm imagining the Watson number is something you just
can't. It would be historic.
You can't do it.
It'd be historic.
It'd be historic, yeah. Last I looked at it, before the latest restructure, I think if you just ate it, it was like $120 million.
Yeah, like you can't do that.
But it's 1 year, right? Like it's not multiple years that you'd have to eat that?
Oh, yeah.
1 year.
Like if you did it in one full swing. But the problem with that, though, is that, and like there was the suggestion before they did this latest restructure about whether or not you could kind of like just like take a poison pill and just do it all this season and just really just make, but it's just not reality. You just can't do that.
Jonathan Peterlin with us on the Wester Hotline. So on the roster overall, Nate just kind of went through it a little bit. What I thought of them 2 years ago, I liked them a lot. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I had one take with them because I loved the offensive line and I loved the defense and I thought their weapons were good enough. How does that stand now? Like the line being great and where the defense is, Garrett is back. Is the rest of it still pretty good with some holes, or are those things maybe not as good as they were a couple years ago?
Guys, offensively, I don't know how they're going to score. Like, I mean, I'm hoping that Shador's the pick, and then we can elevate this team a little bit. Browns fans are holding out for a Brandon Ayuk trade still. Like, there are things that has to happen, but think about it from this perspective. They've not done anything in re-signing or replacing Nick Chubb yet, so I would imagine that's going to come through the draft. Your number one wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy, took a massive step forward last year. But if Jerry Judy's your one, you still have some problems. The offensive line, you got four guys that are now 30 years and older, and they're not trending upward in any sort of direction. They were the worst offense from a scoring standpoint in the NFL last year. But offensively, I'm worried. Defensively, I'm not that worried. Defensively, I think they'll be more than fine. They're going to be all right. But offensively, I just don't know how they're going to score points.
I want to ask about Myles Garrett because, you know, his Bills stint didn't last too long. But there was a lot of optimism here in Buffalo from fans and I mean, even players, right? I mean, you heard Deion Dawkins making national pleads, essentially, like, hey, go get Myles Garrett. And then he ends up signing. But it to me, the lead up to the extension, spoke way more to this breakup is coming. I mean, there are reports that he was trying to meet with Jimmy Haslam but didn't want to meet with him. And then, like, he, you know, writes out a statement, like, I want to be traded. I'm done. And I just wonder, like, from the Browns' perspective of this whole thing, re-signing a 28-year-old, don't get me wrong, probably best defensive player in the league right now, considering where they are and the things that team needs to find competitiveness again, I don't know. It seemed like a short-sighted decision amongst a list of other really short-sighted decisions this franchise continues to make. And I think maybe it's just we can't keep losing, you know, these cornerstone pieces on our team. So this is where we draw the line with Myles Garrett. But I don't know. To be honest, I don't think the extension and subsequent, hey, he's here for now for the long term, makes sense for either side.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things happening here. From Myles' perspective, he got boxed in. I believe he was 100% truthful when he went on Radio Row and he said what he said about the Browns and needing a quarterback and not being a very good team and all that stuff. I believe 100% he believes that. I've known Myles for 8 years. I think he was 100% honest there. I think he realized he had no out, hence why he got a no-trade clause in his new contract and set himself up if he ever wanted to do this. I don't know, let's even say a year from now. I'm fully convinced he believed what he said. He just got boxed in. He overplayed his hand a little bit. He thought it was the NBA, and you could just kind of dictate terms, and it's just not. From the Browns' perspective, what's interesting to me is the insistence from this front office that this isn't baseball. That's their terms, not mine. This isn't baseball, and it doesn't take 5 years to turn something around. So I believe they think that they're really, really close. Now, obviously, talking to you guys think that they're pretty far away. I would agree with you guys. I think they're pretty far away. But they don't think that way. It's crazy, but they don't think that way. In fact, last year, a team that won 3 games, while trying to win, by the way, they weren't tanking. They were trying to win before the season and even during the season at times. I had people tell me that when they talked to people in that front office, they thought that was a championship team. Like, so maybe they're just delusional. I'm not sure. But they really think that they're, like, knocking on the doorstep and could do this way quicker than a lot of people think they can.
Well, then how much would you value, I guess, self-awareness in an ownership and leadership group? Because I think
it a lot.
Right. And I asked the question because I wonder how much the fans view that as like an important trait you need to have for winning teams, is knowing when the towel needs to be thrown in and knowing when maybe one or two moves are needed or this move's needed. Like, to me, the delusion definitely appears real. And it's why it's like the conversation around, do you just eat the $120 million and just say screw it and then bring in the coach? I don't know. It just seems like there's more of a self-fulfilling prophecy than there's actually a roster that's capable of winning in the real world in the NFL.
Well, I think you touched on a great point and something that I think is very evident in this draft, how the Browns go about it, right? Because if they take Shador at number two, a lot of the fan base will be looking at it as, well, he's not worth number two, and this is you guys trying to put a Band-Aid on a bullet hole, and this isn't going to work out. Like, this is you guys thinking that you're a quarterback away when you're not a quarterback away. And conversely, if they actually do what I think you're suggesting, or what I think what a lot of the listeners to this segment can at least gather, is just, you know, punt on this year, take Kirk Cousins at least, and maybe get something that's, you know, 5, 6, 7 wins and play for next year. That might be the better actual strategy to use for a long-term standpoint. But you guys know how this goes. They're in year six. Like, you just don't have forever. And so maybe it's just a fool's mindset that they have. But Andrew Berry, he's very, very smart. He's a lot of things, but he's very, very smart. And I think he knows you just don't get forever with these jobs when you've had one playoff win going into year six.
Yeah. But last thing for you, and then we'll let you go. Because I'm a little more positive on them than maybe Nate is. Not too much. Like, I don't think they're in store for a great campaign coming up. But part of that for me is that I do like the coach. I have liked Stefanski a lot. I mean, coach of the year. But is that, I guess, where does he stand in your eyes at this point? He's been here, been there a long time. And then also what his job security would be. Like, if they win six games, is that it for him?
So I look at them like Bert and Ernie. They're a package deal. Berry and Stefanski go together. I like Stefanski. I'm like you in that I like Stefanski. I am more and more on the minority locally than what it ever has been, for sure. He lost a lot with a lot of people last year. There's no doubt about that. And so that's why this year is important. He's got to show people that he can be that quarterback whisperer that everyone kind of tabbed him to be. And so will he eventually show us that? Sure, right, maybe. But right now he's coming across way more like a real dollar store version of Kyle Shanahan that he actually is some sort of Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay. So one of these guys that can take, you know, basically anyone and turn him into something.
All right. Jonathan Peterlin on the Western Hotline. At least you have the Cavs right now.
Yes,
we do.
That's fun to watch. Yeah.
Although they're now, we have to like watch the rest of this regular season when everyone just wants to talk about the postseason.
Right.
But that's a different story for a different time.
That's literally what we do with the Bills like every November, is we're just talking about the playoffs for the last 7 weeks.
Thanks. That sounds like a nice dream.
Yeah. Thanks for joining, Jonathan. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thank you. Jonathan Peterlin, 92.3 The Fan, at Jay Peterlin. You want to follow him on Twitter, all the good Cleveland takes. You are very anti-Browns right now. Which I'm not saying that's not deserved.
I feel like I'm just realistic Browns.
Yeah.
Their roster stinks. So funny because I think you would have said 2 years ago, I think it was when you said you were high on them.
That 2 years ago, I got to escape that because 2 years ago, I thought their roster was a quarterback away from Super Bowl contender.
But it wasn't just you. A lot of people said this is a Super Bowl roster and without a quarterback.
I think they kind of proved that, didn't they? They played four different quarterbacks and made the playoffs.
Yeah.
The defense was number one in the league. The line was number one in the league. But as we kind of just went through with him, like, the line's aging. The line's not number one in the league anymore. And the defense might still be pretty good, but the defense isn't number one in the league anymore. And the offense has gone from, you know, pretty good to, is it one of the worst in the league?
Yeah.
Right away? So, yeah, they're not what they were even 2 years ago. 803-0550 is the phone number. Cleveland, I think the one lesson that I learned from that whole thing is that they're the team I'm thinking about most in the draft right now. The draft starts with them at number two. We think it's going to be Cam Ward at number one, and Cleveland could go quarterback. They could go Travis Hunter. They could go Abdul Carter. They could go line. They could do anything at number two. When we come back, Paul Hamilton joins the show. We'll change gears, get to some hockey. The Sabres winning last night over Ottawa. Lindy Ruff's 600th win. We'll get to that when we come back here on WGR.